Ah, but welcome to the home of explanations. You've got more than money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor. This Saturday morning, we are live somewhere. We're quasi-live. We're semi-live. Come on, cut me a break here. We're I'm not sure that the way we are live counts no matter what. We are recording a show for you this morning. And as a result, we're a little different than we typically are for our More Than Money time together on Saturdays. We're not taking calls this morning, but we are taking emails, which can be great fun because that way you get my fullest attention. I don't have to juggle the radio show issues. They're already done. Issues are done. So welcome to More Than Money. If you're a loyal listener, you know that we cover all manner of financial issues that are important to you, whether it's investments, income taxes, estate planning, or business, we're here to assist you. And if you're just joining us for the first time, you're catching us on kind of an off-cycle show. We're typically live. We typically take your calls and make you the very heart of the show. Today we're recording a show. Gene and Diane we're actually traveling today out Penn State way. Go Big Blue, and hopefully I think we're playing Iowa. I think we're confirming that we're playing Iowa today. But I just, as any good husband out there will agree, I just do what my wife tells me. So I get in the car and get going. So we're offering you the very best of what we have this morning. And when I say we, it's because I'm joined in the studio by two of my colleagues from More Than Money, Mr. Mark Belsack. Good morning, Mark.
Morning, sir.
Mr. Greg Grillo. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Gene.
So far, you're doing great. So Greg was a little nervous just getting out of the gate, but the good morning part was really good.
He goes, good evening. Oh, man, crap.
There's tricks to everything. Yeah, radio trick. Make sure the microphone is real close to your mouth. That's easy. Respond with answers when you have questions. That's easy. The real challenge is I'm the host, and I've got to make you guys sound good. That's a challenge. That's a challenge. Mark, for folks who have not heard you previously on air, give them the Reader's Digest condensed version. Who's Mark Belsack?
All right. Well, I've been with MTM for 6.5 years. Wow. And next year I'll be starting my 25th year. I've tried to figure out what the calculation is. So with your 780 years, that's probably like 342, something like that. Next year I'll be starting my in human years, my 25th year in the investment industry. But no, it's been great. Love our clients. It's been a great year so far. Just very appreciative.
Fantastic. Mr. Greg Grillo, relatively new to More Than Money.
Yes.
Yeah, relatively new, but not new to the industry. Give our listeners just the Reader's Digest condensed version of Greg Grillo.
Sure. Thanks, Gene. As Gene mentioned, I'm still a little green here at More Than Money. This is my first month with you folks. Great firm. Love being here. I've been in the business about 20 years now, and I've been helping clients develop strategies with their investments and their overall financial picture. And, landing at More Than Money has been a blessing for me, and looking forward to many years there.
Fantastic. Gentlemen, lots going on in the market.
Oh. Yeah.
Did you want to talk about something else?
I know it. Penn State.
So, how about that Penn State? Hey, yeah,
I will say, though, Chase is 1,000. So they are in the FCS. They're in the top 10.
Get out of Dodge.
Uh-huh.
No, really, I mean it. Get out.
Oh, okay. Take care. That was the easiest radio show ever. 5 minutes. Get out of here. No, top 10.
Fantastic.
Craziness. So anyway, no, yes, the market, it's kind of crazy. Yeah, it's a bit unusual. And I think it's a lot of uncertainty and noise, but that could be a whole other radio show.
I would agree 100%. Those two words, uncertainty and noise, I think pretty appropriate.
Sure.
A lot of folks hearing that are not financial advisors, they're going, I'm not 100% clear what you mean by uncertainty and noise. Greg, if you would agree Where does uncertainty and noise fit into all this?
it's kind of like walking in a room with the lights out. I mean, you kind of have to feel your way around. There's a lot of noise, as Mark said, headline driven, knee-jerk reactions. So I think clients just have a little bit of, you know, they're unsure about the direction of not only the market, but how that relates to their investments and their long-term outlook and their retirement. So, we're getting a lot of questions from a lot of clients on, you know, navigating not only the short term, but how that affects them in the long term.
The uncertainty that you mentioned, you're absolutely right. The average investor, the folks that we serve, they're going, what the heck? Why is it wild? It's wild up. It's wild down. Why is it wild? From a professional investor standpoint, is that also the case?
The way that I've been describing it to clients is that the problem with today's environment is that literally information is disseminated in 280 characters or less. Mm-hmm. And that's it. So the best way for the broader investment community to interpret what's going on in the markets is to read their Twitter feed or to read the headlines. And you can't really digest that and formulate your own opinion, which is, 10, 15, 20 years ago, you would read the paper and you'd kind of sit on a Sunday afternoon and kind of think about the day and formulate your own opinion. Well, now that's not the case anymore. It's split decisions, knee-jerk reactions. And so the market is almost it's creating this incredibly violent volatility. I kind of take a look at the beginning of the year, the correction that we had primarily due to the tariffs on China.
Mm-hmm.
How many additional tariffs have we had on China since? Plenty.
Mm-hmm.
How many corrections have we had since?
Not that many. Sure.
Because it's funny. So you look at Fox News and they go out to all the different diners and they interview, the farmers out in the Midwest and you start to hear the dialogue from I guess those that aren't incredibly investment savvy. Right.
How about normal human beings?
Sure.
Okay.
Right.
Good.
And you're starting to hear certain buzzwords, negotiation tactics. This is the norm. This is a short-term pain for long-term profitability. And, mm-hmm. and it's interesting to see how in the short term, you see a tremendous amount of volatility, which is really geared from almost a forced opinion. You need to make an immediate reaction because otherwise you feel like you're going to be too late because the market's moving so quickly. But as time passes, you notice that there's more education being passed through. So the tariffs on China, for example, there's a greater understanding now that is part of the negotiation process.
Mm-hmm.
And similar to what's driving the volatility, let's say, today, it's the 10 years at 3.18. There's a fear that
10-year treasury at 3.18%, right? Mm-hmm.
So there's a fear that with treasury yields picking up, there's going to be a flight to safety.
Mm-hmm.
When you bought your first house, what was your mortgage?
Well, my first house, 9.25.
Mm-hmm. Why is everyone so fearful?
My second house was 15.5.
Uh-huh.
There's that, and we topped out doing some real estate transactions at 19.
Right.
Sure. So a 5% interest rate on mortgages, I'm going, what's the big deal?
Exactly.
But for a lot of people,
it's a big deal.
Greg, when we talk about noise,
mm-hmm.
It seems to come from everywhere. Is there a information source that you would say isn't noise? It actually gives you a pretty reasonable guidance as to what we should or shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, I agree with that 100% because when you look at what the average investor is using to navigate these markets, it is the numerous feeds they're getting from whether it's the TV, the internet, Twitter, friends, family. So a lot of times it's hard for them to make a decision with all that information just hitting them in the face. That's when I think it's important for them to defer to someone who is a fiduciary, someone who is someone they can trust, who they know has their best interests in mind, and who will lay out a plan, an unbiased and applicable plan for them specifically. So when we talk about the noise and the fiduciary, like MTM is, we're here to help the clients. We're helped to filter that noise and act as that the entity that's going to just narrow down all that news and noise that's hitting them and filter it to what's applicable to them now and going forward, and then act accordingly.
Really important point that Greg makes is not everything applies to every investor. So we started, Mark, you mentioned that interest rates have risen, 10-year treasuries 3.18 roughly.
Right.
A year ago, they were roughly
probably half to two-thirds of that.
Right around 2%.
Mm-hmm.
Right around 2%.
Yep.
So it's a rather interesting, significant move in interest rates. But what if your investments are 95% in the stock market? It may or may not have a big impact on you. If
right.
your investments are 95% in real estate, you better be watching that like a hawk. So one of the filters, Greg points out, I think really appropriately, that financial advisors provide is, of all the noise that's out there, what really applies to this particular investor? I'll give you another example. You tell me. Interest rates, China, immigrant army on it marching its way to our southern border, the Khashoggi and the Saudis. How does that really apply in terms of making changes to an investment portfolio for someone who's 45 years old investing for their retirement?
I'm not really sure it does.
Precisely.
So,
yeah,
right.
Precisely.
It's coming up with a specific investment plan for you.
And if you've got a sound strategy in place and it's a 5, 10, 15-year goal set that we're working on, where does the noise really factor into making adjustments?
Exactly.
Pretty much nowhere.
Yeah. Right.
Pretty
mm-hmm.
much nowhere.
Yep.
So if you are loyal listeners to More Than Money, if you are part of our More Than Money family, Mr. John, did you get your email yet? You get your newsletter? Thank you very much, sir. And for those of you who receive it by snail mail, I got mine, but you probably won't get yours till Christmas.
Yeah.
Just the way that goes. I know your postal carrier. Not that good. No, I don't. I made that up.
I know.
Thank you. John, reassuring everyone. Yeah, he made that up. Virtually the entire newsletter this month is about exactly that. How are we going to respond when the question was, what do we do if the market drops? Where is if? Why is the word if in there? The market's going to drop. We don't know when. We don't know how far. The whole psychic ability thing, highly suspect. I'm pretty sure Greg brought psychotic ability to the table. Pretty sure about that. Indeed. If you have not received your More Than Money newsletter, make sure you request it. You can do that by sending me an email, gene@askmtm.com. And you'll see the complete discussion about the kinds of things that you can do to protect yourself going forward in terms of market drops and lots more. Gentlemen, lots of questions. We tend to field questions, and because we're recording today, we're not receiving phone calls. And for those of you listening, yeah, that was my reminder to you as well. We are recording today. We're not live in the studio. So phone calls, not necessarily appropriate, but you can certainly send us an email, gene@askmtm.com, or you can log on to our website, morethanmoneyonline.com. Are there any questions that you're bumping into that are pretty common, pretty, hey, we're hearing these quite a bit?
Not really. No, I'm just kidding.
Nice.
No, it's we really do come across a lot of common themes. I think one of the biggest ones that we've actually, Greg sat in at least two meetings so far over the last couple of weeks. And the big question is, I've got a pension. So what's the right option for me? Should I take the annuity stream? Should I take the lump?
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
Mm. And for a lot of folks, of course, pensions don't apply anymore. But for a lot of folks, they do. If you're a school teacher, if you happen to be a kind of a legacy, you were grandfathered into a pension. Pensions, just getting the letter saying you're going to have to make a decision can be a mind buster. And you've bumped into that?
quite a few times. Yes.
So outline for our listeners just the basics of what the choice looks like.
Sure. More often than not, on the annuity side, you're going to have a number of different options.
And when you say annuity side, that's the legitimate description of what a person is receiving when they elect their monthly pension.
That is a stream of income from the company.
Okay.
Through the pension plan. So, right. So there will be a number of options, whether you want to have single payout or spousal benefits, and then whatever ratio that you'd like to choose, whether it's, you know, 50-50, 75-25.
So I'm going to give everybody just numbers literally off the top of my head. They are not intended to be accurate, but they're intended to kind of demonstrate the relative value.
Sure.
So from a pension standpoint, an annuity standpoint, I can elect to get $3,000 a month for as long as I live, and when I'm dead, so is my payment.
Correct.
Or if I happen to be married, I have a spouse, indeed, and I want to make sure that she has income after I'm gone, I might elect to take a monthly pension that's good for as long as I live and as long as she lives.
Right.
And that might drop it from $3,000 down to $2,200 bucks. So I get quite a bit less, but theoretically it's for two lives.
Right.
But of course, if the very next day she and I get hit by a bus together,
yeah,
zip.
Mm-hmm.
Or I might decide to do something kind of in the middle, because there are variations on that theme. I might take a little less and give her half of that as long as she lives. And lots of pension plans now are doing a little bit less and 75%.
Right.
So we've already got at least five different options. My head hurts already. And any other options that we're going to have to fuss with?
On the annuity stream side?
Not on the annuity stream side. How about exactly? What other options are typical?
Like, take the lump sum.
Lump sum.
Right.
Pretty typical in terms of the offer that's being made in the letter.
Sure.
How do you decide?
It's a great question. I think it circles back to what we were discussing before, that it depends.
Ah, nobody's ever heard that on this show
Never.
Before.
Never.
Indeed, it depends. So I'll feed back to you guys how I approach this. You tell me if that kind of fits with what you're thinking.
Sure.
Is as well. Number one, I'm looking always back to what are the cash flow needs of my client. So my client says to me, using my numbers, $3,000 guaranteed, look, my wife and I are going to get $5,000 a month from Social Security. We spend $3,000 a month. I don't need any more guaranteed income. Then I would say I would take the lump sum. Client says to me, we need to spend $6,000 a month. My wife and I are going to get $3,000 a month in Social Security. I really need to know my bills are paid. Wow, that sounds an awful lot like we should be taking a pension. Is that kind of how we're starting the conversation?
Sounds about right.
That's right.
So from the standpoint of where I stand with my clients, and you, and I'm sure that you do as well, it when we say it depends, we all smile because we use that so often. It really does. It depends on the specific set of circumstances your client brings to you.
Right.
Cool. Very good indeed. Mr. John, 2 minutes or so. Ladies and gentlemen, we are recording today a very special show that you are hearing Saturday the 27th. Gosh, I hope I got that right. As soon as I said, I'm going, not really sure. Should have looked at that previously, but I believe that is correct. Saturday the 27th is Diane and I are traveling, and we have special guests in the studio this morning, Mark Belsack, Greg Grillo of the More Than Money team. Located in the More Than Money World headquarters in the Holy Lands between Bethlehem and Nazareth. So if you have questions for Gene, if you have questions for Greg, if you have questions for Mark, all you need to do is send us an email. Interestingly enough, there's some commonality in our emails. You can send it to gene@askmtm.com. Watch how creative we are. You could send it to mark@askmtm.com. You could send it to, hang on, greg@askmtm.com. Pick your poison. Send out your emails and ask any of the questions that you wish. We're happy to help. Because we are recording live today, because there's so much information that we're going to be covering, a lot of you are going to have some questions that you'd want to explore. You want to get a little more information about. Our website is a really good place to start. MoreThanMoneyOnline.com is a really good place to start, so that you get the backgrounds of all the folks who are on our team. You get to see some of the videos of information that we put together, white papers, and do some explorations, as well as if this is your first radio show with us, you might want to listen in on a couple of the podcasts that we've posted from previous shows, the live shows where folks have called in with questions that are important to them. And that'll give you a lot more information as well about how we work with our clients. Greg had mentioned early in our show, fiduciary. We are indeed fiduciaries, are a legal term that requires us to act on your behalf, in your best interest, putting our best interest second, behind you. Lots of folks out there claiming to be financial advisors. Not all of them do that. We're happy to do so. Folks, we've got to go to a half-hour break. That's Fox Network News. That means that we're going to take a couple minutes out. We'll be back with you on More Than Money right after this. But welcome back to Home Love Explanations. You've got More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor. It is Saturday. It is October 27th, and I'm not here. Now, if we went to silence for the rest of this, that'd be pretty cool. Actually, no, it wouldn't be cool at all. So we are recording a show for your edification this morning and having a little bit of fun. Welcome to welcoming into the studios from More Than Money, both Mark Belsack. Welcome back, sir.
Morning, sir.
Mr. Greg Grillo, welcome back.
Gene, hello.
You know, we tease, and it is teasing. We're just having fun that Gene has 780 years of experience. Although that when people meet me, they go, yeah, it kind of looks like it, which is hurtful. It's harsh. But between the two of you guys, you're pushing 50 years of experience.
Between the two of us, we have 1,235 years.
No, yeah, you're doing dog years now. I'm just saying that this is not your first rodeo.
No,
you guys have done a lot of this stuff. So, since we're not taking calls, we've got some questions that Greg and Mark have brought to us this morning that we're going to kick around. Keeping in mind always that the fundamental answer to all these, if you're listening, is it depends. So, Mr. Greg Grillo. What do you got for me there, sir?
Sure. The one thing that I've noticed as a common theme in quite a few of the meetings I've been sitting in with Mark and folks that come through our doors is IRA contributions.
Sure.
Roth IRAs tend to be pretty popular, at least in the conversation.
Right.
But I know there's a lot that goes into whether or not you can contribute to a Roth or a traditional IRA, which is most appropriate. But a lot of it comes down to we find income. Or what stage of their life they're in. So maybe you can help clarify a little bit on which is more appropriate and when.
Very good. So
wait, I got it.
Go ahead.
Depends.
There you go.
All right.
Well, it absolutely does.
That was a softball.
And the factors that it depends on.
Sure.
Look at that segue. Look at us. Like we're
nice.
Like we're on radio.
We've done
and
this
stuff
before.
All right, John, the airline bag is in the seat pocket in front of you. John's going to be a little ill here. The factors that we look at that drives the it depends decision. Number one, tax bracket. Perfect example. One of my daughters is on the payroll for the very first time. If you can sense her dad's pure excitement. I'm so happy. She's on somebody else's payroll. No, kidding. She's on somebody else's payroll, but her income tax bracket is fundamentally zero. So if we were to do a traditional IRA and get her a fabulous tax deduction, it would save her
zero.
Nothing. It's going to give her no advantage whatsoever. And the huge disadvantage is it's going to compound for 45 years, and then she's going to pay tax on all that.
Right.
She will give up nothing to go to the Roth side. It is not deductible. So what? We're not going to save anything anyway. And 45 years from now, that $5,000 or whatever is invested is going to will have compounded 6, 8, 10 times over. It might be sitting at $50,000, $75,000, $100,000 tax-free. So the tax bracket is the very first thing that we look at in terms of Roth versus traditional IRA. Second thing, age. The younger the client, the more it really does support the Roth. Give up a little bit of tax, perhaps right now. In our first example, zero, but maybe a little bit of tax right now in exchange for no tax on a much bigger number many years from now. If you are 59, it isn't many years from now.
Right.
So it becomes a much more difficult thing to gauge whether it's an advantage for traditional or not. High tax bracket, a traditional seems to be pretty attractive. Low tax bracket, a Roth. Younger client, Roth seems pretty attractive. Older client, a traditional more attractive. But these are generalities. Can you guys think of a situation where a 60-year-old should be doing a Roth?
Well, there's one issue that comes up a lot is there are clients who have no interest in taking RMDs, or they're expecting to continue to work at and up to age 70 or through. So if they're an incredibly low tax bracket, and that's something that they're considering, that they're going to have an income stream and just the utter frustration of needing to take an RMD every year. When I don't need it, let's let the money continue to work for us. A Roth might be an option.
Yeah, you've made two exceptionally good points. Number one, some clients at age 60 are going, yeah, retirement, that's cool. I'm only 15 or 20 years away.
Mm-hmm.
20 years ago, you would have said 60. I'm hoping to retire in 4 months because I'm going to be dead in 12. That was the kind of the nature of the beast. Now, tons of our clients are going, so sure. When do you expect to retire? The word 70 pops out a lot.
Right.
75 is not uncommon. We have a ton of clients who are in their 70s, still working.
Well, especially, yeah, we've got a lot of clients that they run their own business, own a small business. So they're not going to be selling their business right away. They'll be a part of it. So they're going to be generating a stream of income. But it's just a quick circle back. You were talking about Roth IRAs for younger employees. One thing to take into consideration is that there are a lot of 401k plans that are actually offering a Roth 401k option.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. So that's something to take a look at. So instead of thinking that you need to contribute just to a Roth IRA, check within your 401k because there could be a Roth 401k option which works exactly the same way.
But better. Because in some cases, the current limitation for a relatively younger employee taxpayer for a Roth contribution is what?
Was it 18.5?
Yeah, I'm a Roth IRA.
Oh, Roth. I'm sorry, Roth IRA, $5,500.
$5,500.
Same 401k.
And the
option.
Roth 401k is?
Mm-hmm. Roth 401k is
$18,500. So you're looking at a huge opportunity.
Sure.
If somebody said to me at age 35, look, I got a great job. I spend next to no money, and I have no intention of working when I'm 75.
Right.
I want to be out of here kind of, you know, 50 sounds old to me. I'm not really clear about that. A Roth 401k option is fabulous because basically it takes you from $5,500 to $18,500 you can tuck away. And even if your company doesn't match, It's fabulous.
Right.
If your company does match, are you kidding me? This is a killer. Killer. Very, very good point.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. The second point you made about folks looking at RMDs and going, not that happy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a second, it isn't technically a type of Roth, but it is. It's a Roth conversion.
Right.
Where folks are looking at age 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 60. No, sorry, that's an old comic gag. Sorry. Bottom line is that they're looking at this going, you know, in 10 years, I've got this $500,000 IRA. In 10 years, it's going to be worth $1 million. And they're going to make me take 40 G's out and pay tax, and I'm going to be pissed. Okay? What are the options? You could take a piece of that IRA each year, convert it, pay whatever the tax is, depending on their bracket.
Right.
They could very well, with the Tax Reform Act, find themselves in a 12 or a 15% bracket.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if we have good memories, as we've all been in the business for a while, there was a time when a 12 or a 15% tax bracket was a fantasy. Everybody was paying 20, 30, 40. Lots of people paying 40, 50, 60. The tax rates were huge. And there are a lot of folks out there today that will tell you high tax rates are coming back, particularly the folks who expect to be elected on the Democratic side in about 2 weeks. High tax brackets are coming back because we're going to stick it to people. We hate Donald Trump, and we're going to stick it to people. Well, if you can get money out at 15 cents on the dollar instead of being forced to take it out in 10 years where it might be 40 cents on the dollar, a lot of folks will say, I'm in. And over a 10-year period, could they bite away one-tenth or so of their IRAs and convert the whole thing?
Sure. There actually is one scenario that's come up quite a bit that probably should be addressed. So those clients that are interested in doing a conversion, oftentimes we kind of get the answer. So why don't I just take one and all right, so not to go jump right to the conversion piece, but the thought is, why don't I take my RMD payment and make a Roth IRA contribution?
Yeah, sadly not allowed.
Correct.
Yeah.
So we've found a lot of success, and certainly we've worked hand in hand with our tax department. A wonderful lady heads up our tax department. Jean, you might know her.
I met her once or twice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But we've worked hand in hand with our tax department to come up with a strategy for clients that it is appropriate for, but essentially it's figuring out, well, how much in taxes do you want to pay? We figure out what check is going to be that you want to write if it's $1,000, and we back our way into it. We figure out, based on your bracket, how much can you convert an IRA to a Roth IRA?
So for example, if mm-hmm. I'm following you correctly, let's say a client says, look, I'm willing to spend an extra $1,000 on my taxes to start this conversion thing.
Right.
If we do the calculation and they're in the 12% bracket, they can convert roughly $8,000.
Exactly.
They pay an extra $1,000, and now they have a chunk of money in a standard IRA,
mm-hmm.
and they've already started with $8,000 that goes to the Roth side, converted to the Roth side, not subject to RMDs, not subject to at any point, it has to be taken out. As a matter of fact, it might actually be passed on to the next generation tax-free as well.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mark alluded to the young lady who heads up our tax department, and Greg, sitting in on meetings since he joined us, has heard me say this once or twice as I introduce all the parties at the table. We all work for the same boss, which is my wife.
This is true.
And as long as we do what we're told,
we're in good shape.
Life is good. It's when we have our own thoughts.
It's always fun when she walks around with the envelopes and she hands one, and I go, oh, I didn't mess up this week.
There are times, you know, she gets a little cruel with that, where she like hands it halfway across the desk and then takes it back.
Or she holds on really tight and she goes, Gene, you remember?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Remember when you left the dishes in the sink?
No, Gene never leaves dishes. That's one of the few things Gene doesn't do. Folks, you're listening to More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host and your personal financial advisor. Indeed, with 780 years of experience at your service this morning. It is October the 27th. We're recording a special show for you as Diane and I are traveling this weekend. So keep us in your prayers for safe travel and our family as well, as there's a fair number of us traveling to from various sites, all getting together for a weekend retreat, and that would be very much appreciated. Joining us in the studio, you're hearing the dulcet tones of Mark Belsack and Greg Grillo. Greg, what else you got over there?
Well, we've talked to a lot of folks lately. Like I said, the common theme I'm finding in a lot of these meetings is obviously retirement.
I mean,
people are looking at the markets, seeing the volatility. And so we have a lot of conversations around their retirement assets, IRAs in particular, like I mentioned. I mean, one scenario we had recently while we're on the topic of the Roth IRAs, we had a young couple doing fantastically well, combined income, $300,000.
Nice.
You know, thinking they want to do all the right things. They're young. They have many years to save. And so they're making Roth contributions.
Cool.
So we stop right there. Question for them is, you're making a lot of money, and going back to your comment about income being one of the caveats to consider.
Sure.
Is that appropriate for them based on their
income? Oh, good question, because at $300,000, their tax bracket is high.
Right.
35% plus or minus plus state income taxes. So they would need, from my standpoint, a transparent and full disclosure to say, if you put, I'm picking rough numbers, $10,000 into your Roth IRAs, it's going to cost you $4,000. If they don't fall off their chair, give me a rough idea of how old they are.
Mid-30s.
Mid-30s, perfect. So they have roughly 30 years before they would start to think about using this money.
Right.
Roughly 30 years. So let's play with numbers for a second. Right now, $4,000. That's a lot of money, especially on a $10,000 investment. But let's just play the game for a second. Got it. We paid $4,000. We hate it. $10,000. Let's pick a number and say it earns on average 10% over the next 30 years.
Sure.
We invested aggressively. It's 100% in the stock market. No guarantees. We get that. No guarantees. But assume just for fun that it makes 10%. It's going to double every 7 years. They've got roughly 30 years to go. So in 7 years, it's going to go from 10 to 20. They're 42. At 49, it's worth 40. At 56, it's worth 80. At 63, it's worth $160,000. And let's just say at 63, for whatever reason, they take it out. And then they have to pay tax on $160,000, which really – hang on a second. I just remembered. No, I don't. It's a Roth. Mm-hmm. So would you rather pay $4,000 today on a $10,000 investment and be able to pull $160,000 out tax-free – or is it just too painful? And I understand that it might be. Oh, $4,000, it's a lot. If you're making $300, you got to start making really solid financial decisions, one of which is likely you bite the bullet, you pay the $4,000 today so you avoid paying, even if you're in the 40% bracket in 30 years, $64,000 tax bill that you don't pay.
Right.
$4,000 now. 64 later, pretty easy for me to make that decision, but it's up to the client.
Sure.
It's up to the client.
So when you get up to that level of income, unfortunately, you get some restrictions because you start to exceed the limits at which you can contribute.
Sure.
So we're often coming across the question of what other strategies can you put in play?
Yeah, if they are not able to participate in a 401k, not really clear how that would be because almost everybody can.
Well, so let's say at that income, they're maxing out their 401k, but they want to do more. That's usually the scenario.
So fantastic. So we've got a young couple that's not only making a lot of money,
right?
They're brilliant,
right?
Because they're savvy enough to go, I can put all this money in a 401k and have it compound tax-free for the next 30 years. I'm doing it. If they max that out, we're looking at $37,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like crazy fantastic. And they have more that they'd like to save.
Right.
It will shock no one to hear that where they put that money The first response has to be, it depends.
Sure.
Because if the money is intended for retirement, then getting some sort of tax sheltering is a huge advantage. And whether that be some form of variable annuity, where there's no deduction to go in, but there's no taxes for the next 30 years, that's a possibility that they might want to look at. And when I say variable annuity, as our listeners have heard me say many times, lots of flavors of annuities. So it could be variable, it could be fixed, it could be a fixed index, it could be some form of annuity. But the technical term for annuities is tax-deferred annuity of whatever flavor. So they may very well want to start to look at that kind of investment that says, I'm going to put it away for a long time and pay no taxes. A lot of folks will say, hang on a second, Gene. Annuities? The costs are pretty high. Well, that can be true, doesn't have to be true. There are actually some annuities out there that have fees that are so remarkably low that they would shock you. But I would understand if they would say to me, not really clear about that.
Right.
How about the advantages of being able to invest perhaps in stocks where you can determine when you pay the tax?
Mm-hmm.
You buy incredibly high quality stocks, and if you don't sell them for 10 or 15 or 20 years, there's no tax. And when you do, you get a special treatment called capital gains.
Right.
So that's a possibility. Real estate's another possibility. Investing in rental properties, investing in commercial properties provides tax sheltering and some tax deductions along the way. So they've got a couple different opportunities. It really does depend on their scenario. Real estate is not an investment. It's a business.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're making $300,000 a year, my guess is they're pretty busy.
Yeah.
So adding another business, maybe not the best idea. So a passive investment is probably the better way to go. And then I'd be looking at tax-deferred annuities and or some form of stock investments that right. can be pushed off.
It's interesting. You start to talk about a lot of the complexities that really come into play when you have a very young couple who is making quite a bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so we come across in our meetings a very wide range of sophistication and need for relatively advanced estate planning techniques.
Of course. Yeah.
So I think it might be a nice time to kind of pause and maybe put in, whether it's a little bit of an infomercial, but really tell everybody exactly what we do when we meet people and how we go about providing solid information to really cover all aspects of the retirement planning scenario.
Sure.
Okay. So typically when we sit down with someone, obviously we're covering all of their investment needs and their tax needs under our roof, but we also offer a variety of free services. Many of those individuals you have heard live here on the radio show. But depending on the level of sophistication and the young couple that we've, you know, just kind of run through their scenario, you know, life insurance and long-term care may be an option.
Very good.
And so Mike Pompei, representative from Ash Brokerage, has been on the radio quite mm-hmm. a few times. We offer an opportunity to sit down with him for an hour, no cost, no obligation, just to learn a little bit more about whether you have any insurance or long-term care, a current evaluation of what you have, and certainly whether it is an appropriate fit within the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, being that young, starting a family, they may not have their wills.
Almost certainly they don't.
Right.
80% of folks those ages don't, right?
And so it's interesting. A lot of people think of wills as to where's my stuff going to go. And when you're that young, it's typically 401ks and IRAs and, well, I have beneficiary designation, so it's going to go exactly where it tells it to go. I like to position things a little differently. Whereas a will and the additional estate documents are really speaking for you when you can no longer speak for yourself.
Mm.
So whether it's a medical complication, someone to medical directive, someone to determine your care and well-being, we work with Rob Pinnell. He's an attorney who also comes into our office once a month. We offer what we call we're not incredibly creative when we come up with names. It's a free will review.
So we have free insurance review, free will review. I suspect there's at least one more of those.
Oh, you're exactly right.
Actually, there's two. If you consider that we also give free second opinions. That's the entire picture. But number three?
Sure. The third individual who has also been on the radio, our Social Security expert, Mark Basak. With 39 years in Social Security Administration.
Embarrassingly, not nearly as long as his wife.
Wow.
She was actually there 40 years.
That's crazy.
Very cool.
But really to have an opportunity, not for this couple in their 30s, but for many of the individuals and couples that we meet, Social Security is not so simple as I'm 62, I'm going to start to take it.
Oof. Wow.
So really sitting down and having an overview from a guy who will blow your socks off.
On a lot of different levels. And there's a commonality between these three individuals that not to embarrass them with compliments, but they share a common trait of they absolutely live to uncover the correct answer for their clients.
Right.
They live for that. So if you're talking to a Mark Basak and you're talking Social Security strategy, and a lot of folks are going, what's the strategy? You turn 62, you start taking Social Security. Oh, my gosh. Nothing could be further from the truth. You start talking strategy, Mark can unfold all your options of giving you the best opportunity to maximize your Social Security benefits. Mike Pompei, for a young couple looking at life insurance comes in tons of different flavors, and Ash represents dozens of different companies. He can not only counsel them as to the flavor of insurance they need, but then shop it to dozens of companies so they get the very best deal.
Right.
And, of course, Rob can sit with a client and go through the various options in terms of what happens if. What happens if you're no longer here? What happens if you're still here but you can't respond? All of those things absolutely works. Very, very good. Sir, 2 minutes or so. Yeah, V for victory there, Winston Churchill. You're listening to More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor. You've got Mark Basak, Belsack. We talk about Mark. I never confuse Greg Grillo.
Never.
It's been here like 20 minutes. Greg Grillo. We've got Greg and Mark here both sharing ideas and asking questions. And we're coming to the top of the hour, Fox Network News, all the information you need to make it a great weekend. And, of course, that means we have another full hour. Full hour, of course, for us means 44 minutes. Hey, we got to pay heat, light, and electric here, Bella. That's the way it works. We got spots. So we want you to have that opportunity. Since we're not taking calls this morning, we're encouraging you to go online, morethanmoneyonline.com. We're also encouraging you that if you have a question, all you have to do is send it to me, gene@askmtm.com. If you prefer, send it to Mark, mark@askmtm.com. And shockingly, Greg's email address is, greg@askmtm.com. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back after this on More Than Money. I'm bound to thank you for it. I'm giving for your kindness. I'm dead to you, and I never could have come this far without you. For everything you've done, you know I'm. Thank you for it.